Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, God is always moving in interesting ways, and yesterday on Facebook, if you noticed, I shared a video from my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr., the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, where you rarely hear any pastor speaking the way that Bishop did. You especially rarely hear, if ever, black pastors, God bless them, speaking the way Bishop Wooden did yesterday. So I shared that, and a lot of you have watched it. And then he went live on Facebook Live again today, earlier today, another great message dealing with some of these hot-button issues and racism and Charlottesville and the president and Planned Parenthood and saving babies and all that kind of stuff. And so I texted his son-in-law. We were in a little text conversation while the bishop was live earlier today. And I said, now I had to learn a lesson, because if I'm going to deal with Patrick's time, it's best to get his admin assistant, Patricia, who's awesome, involved in the conversation. So I text his son-in-law, who's a great guy. He's right sitting right here in your office with us. And he's like, hey, Bishop said, come on down. And I got down, and the first time I saw Patricia, I was like, I feel like I'm in the principal's office, and it's fourth grade again. She's like, Steve, now you know, when it comes to Bishop's schedule, you need to talk to me. I'm like, oh, no. She's tough, man. She's just trying to protect her bishop, and so I appreciate that. But it's kind of you to let me come back down. And,
it's an honor. Yeah,
13 years we've known each other since Call to Action started in 2004. And I love you to death, and it's always great to be here. This is like home away from home for me.
The love is mutual, and it is home away from home. We see you here at the Upper Room as a member, and we're proud of what you're doing and the difference that you're making. And I thank the Lord for your audience and for this opportunity to come on.
Amen.
Because it's time to say the things that must be said. I think that many good people are being victimized by the media. Because if you notice, the media doesn't report the news now. They report what they want to report, and then they create a conclusion, a narrative. Donald Trump is giving cover to the KKK. Now, they won't tell you what he actually said.
Right.
They won't quote him, but their interpretation, which is a misinterpretation, a purposeful misinterpretation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So they accuse him of this and that, and it's so easy now to call someone racist. You know, if they disagree with you or if they have a slightly different point of view. To me, the president couldn't have been clearer when he said that there were good and decent people on both sides. I in no way interpreted that as him saying that they are good and decent Klansmen,
right,
or Nazis, or alt-right people. My interpretation was he was saying that there were people who were there who were not a part of that group, but who also believed that the memorials should stay.
Right.
That doesn't make a person racist.
No, that's
On the other side, there were people there who were not a part of Antifa, who were not violent at all, who believed that the monuments should be removed.
There were Christian people there, church people there.
Preachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You can take your, by the way, take your, see how my headset's right across my head? There you go. Now just move your microphone.
Okay.
Now pull the microphone up.
All right. Now I'm doing better.
That feels better.
That better.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're good.
So.
Yeah. Preachers were there. All these different people.
All these different
people. And not everybody in the crowd on both sides of the crowd was a rotten, horrible person.
That was his point.
Yeah.
And for the media to take it, and then for me to hear people whom I know have to know better to just jump in and run and say, you know, that this is racism. He's equating, he's drawing a moral connection, a moral equation between the Klan and Antifa. And well, they didn't even call them Antifa at the time. They were calling them innocent protesters.
Right.
Innocent protesters.
Yeah, anti-racist protesters.
Yeah.
Who are basically a bunch of socialists who want anarchy.
Right. And I shared with a friend of mine. I said, now, maybe you have feelings for them, because the first time you saw them, they were opposing the Klan. Yeah. Well, the first time I heard of them and saw them, they were opposing Christian speakers.
Wow.
Conservative speakers, yeah, on college campuses.
Yeah. Like out at Berkeley and yes, setting things on fire and yes, destroying property. Yes. They were at Donald Trump's inauguration. Mm-hmm. Our mutual friend Jim Anthony here in town called me from D.C. on the show on Inauguration Day. And he was fearful for both he and his fiance's life from what they were seeing up there.
Wow.
And those were anti-Trump people who come from the Black Lives Matter. And again, are there some hey, let me ask you this question. Are there some decent people involved with Black Lives Matter?
There are decent people that I know, and I'm one of them, who believe that Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. All right. Right. Well said.
Okay.
But you go to the core of Black Lives
but
Matter.
That to the organization. Leadership. That organization.
Yeah.
There may be some decent people who don't know, who mean well,
yeah,
but they don't know what Black Lives Matter is really all about. Because the organization itself, you can't pay them to go down to an abortion clinic or any place where Black lives are actually being exterminated and stand against that.
Wow.
So it's a group of anarchists. Not everyone in the group is aware of what the group stands
for
and all that. So I am not a part of, nor am I sympathetic to the Black Lives Matter movement. But do I believe that black lives, like white lives, blue lives? And check this out. Here's one, unborn lives.
Oh no. How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, isn't it interesting that the Democrat Party and people on the left will decry all that, the violence that they saw? They'll decry the KKK, they'll talk about white supremacy and the alt-right and all that stuff, but they cheerlead and they encourage and they fund the number one killer of black people in America, which is the abortion industry.
I find that amazing. I tell you what I find more amazing than that.
And that's not black-on-black crime, by the way. That's white-on-black crime.
Black crime.
Because most abortionists are white.
Yes, yes. And what moves me is that most blacks are registered Democrats. Now, how is it that you can be concerned about your own survival and be a part of, support the party that supports the apparatus, the organization that is killing us? Now, many of my African-American friends will say to me, well, wouldn't there are more issues than abortion?
Right.
But not to that aborted child.
Yeah, that's a great point. You talked about that earlier today. Like, hey, how do you be a one-issue person? There's other issues. That's always true, except for the unborn.
Yep.
You talked about that and political issues versus non-political issues. Charlottesville, racism in America, Donald Trump. We're going to hit all that today on a special Black and White Day, live from the Bishop's office here at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Also on Facebook Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Call to Action Radio. It's a special Black and White Day on the show with our good friend Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr., Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. My slightly older brother from another mother.
Slightly.
Just slightly.
Yep.
But that, by the way, that music. Now, this is, I like to play with nitroglycerin and dynamite and matches. So that was this rockin' tune from Matt Papa. So that song you just heard is Matt Papa.
What happened to Matt?
So we're going to take this rockin' Matt Papa stuff, and then we're going to take the rockin' praise and worship music from the Upper Room Church of Christ on Friday, October 27th.
It's going to be amazing.
That'll be our fourth annual Call to Worship event. We're doing it here at the church, which I've wanted to do for a while, I basically had to take advantage of my power when we had the stage last time. And then we're going to somehow mash these two things together.
It's going to be great.
Who put the emphasis on opposite beats in a four-beat measure. As you were talking about that before. Hey, he's on the two and four. What about the one and the three? Yeah. I mean, what's up with that? So we're going to mash this black-white thing together.
It's going to be
all to the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've told you this. This will rock your world a little bit. So, you know, last year we had Walt Heyer.
Yes.
Who came in to share his story.
Awesome man.
Mid-70s.
Yes, sir.
Started getting dressed as a girl when he was four by his grandmother.
Right.
Had the gender trans, the surgery, quote-unquote sex reassignment surgery, mm-hmm. came back from it from as much as possible. Mm-hmm. An amazing testimony. This year, a guy I had on the show a couple months ago, his name is Joshua Broom. Listen to this. This is going to rock your world. And this is going to be who's sharing his testimony that night. Spent 7 years in L.A., went out there when he was about 20. 7 years in L.A., adult film industry.
My Lord.
2 years, the last 2 years, gay porn. I asked him this question on the air. I said, what percentage of guys in gay porn are actually gay? He said 10%. 90% of them are straight. This is how dark it gets. This is how messed up they get because of the drug culture and everything in there. And then he was in a bank one day, and the guy said to him, well, is there anything else I can do to help you today, Joshua? And that was the first time in years he had heard his name.
Wow.
And God used that to snap him out of it.
Wow.
Just like Nebuchadnezzar.
Wow.
He came to his senses. He calls his mom, said, Mom, can I come home? He had to spend 60, 70 grand to get out of his contract, sold all his stuff, went back to South Carolina, and then God just went to work. An amazing, amazing transformation. Now he owns a CrossFit gym here in the Raleigh area. He's married to this wonderful girl who knows his background. He told her that, like, on their first date. And then he's leading people to Christ. He's baptizing people from his CrossFit gym. Mm. And he's being discipled at Hope Community Church locally. And he's going to meet with Danny Aiken up at the seminary soon, because he wants to start taking seminary classes.
So God be the glory.
Unbelievable testimony.
That's amazing.
So we'll hear from Joshua that night as well. But today, talking to Bishop Wooden, had a really popular video out yesterday on Facebook Live and did it again today, talking about what happened in Charlottesville. We're going to broaden the conversation, racism in general, and talking about Charlottesville. And there were probably a few good people there on either side of the argument, but most of them are just wicked, nasty. In the next segment, Pastor, I'm going to take a few of our minutes of our time, if you don't mind. John MacArthur did an unbelievable explanation, spiritually speaking, of what happened in Charlottesville. I'm going to play that in the next segment. Then I want to get you to dovetail off of that. But that now we have this whole Confederate monument issue.
Right.
So what do you think of that? Should we be tearing down Confederate monuments all over the country?
I'll answer it this way. The Jews are not going to allow any monument that points to the Holocaust and the atrocities that were committed against them to be taken away. I think when we began to try to rewrite history by removing monuments and things like that, I think that it taints our nation, and it doesn't. If there are no monuments to the Confederacy, if there was nothing that great men like Dr. King overcame and the freedom fighters and all of the people who worked so hard, then why have the King Monument? Now, whether or not the monument should be glorified or displayed where some of them are, that's open for debate. That doesn't bother me. But should they be vandalized? Should they be torn down? Should they be removed in the middle of the night? I don't think so. Have a museum or something, but I don't think we should erase our history. The Bible says, remove not the old landmarks. Right, everywhere right. Joshua went, when something happened, he built a memorial. Now, the Confederates, they lost.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank God that America has moved on. But I'm not with all of a sudden taking away all of the monuments and especially doing like we've seen them on television. A person climbing up on top of a monument and lassoing the thing and pulling it down.
Not to mention, we live in a land that is under the rule of law.
Right.
And any of this anarchy type stuff
that
is bad for the whole culture.
It's bad for everyone.
So you start removing Confederate statues.
Yes.
Now we're erasing history, which means you're not going to be able to learn from history. We already have a big enough problem. Let me ask you this question. The last time you walked by a Confederate statue, did it call you the N-word?
Last time I walked past a Confederate statue, I probably didn't know it was a Confederate statue.
Right.
Most people don't pay any attention.
So now we just use it.
Yeah.
Because I think the media... This is like our poverty pimp friends like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. What bleeds, leads.
Right.
And as long as there's this nasty division and these terrible things going on and the defacing of monuments, that's good for the crazy leftist media.
It's good for them, and it's bad for us. I was in Washington, D.C., and I viewed the Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial. I loved it. I was moved. The only thing I didn't like is you wouldn't know that the doctor was a reverend because there's not one scripture.
Really?
No reference to Christ.
Oh, man.
So I don't know who the people were who were in charge of that.
That's sad.
Because he was a preacher and they're trying
secularize him. Where he got his power, baby.
That's it. But I was proud of that monument. When we start defacing and removing monuments, there is no way you're going to be able to deface these others and someone doesn't come and go and spray paint Dr. King and all and the others. So I think that that whole movement is wrong. I like what you said about the rule of law. This is what the people don't seem to understand is those people don't care anything about Dr. King or blacks or monuments. It is anarchy.
Yeah.
Anything that will bring lawlessness into the streets of America.
Yeah.
George Soros and his crowd, they are for it. They have a desired end. And also, they are coming after our free speech rights, our First Amendment rights to practice our religion.
Sure.
And to have free speech. And see, the Klan and the white supremacists, they are an easy target because everybody is disgusted
yeah.
with them.
Hey, and listen, this is the thing. The media makes it seem like we've got a significant portion of the American population, and 100% of the Republican and conservative population
yeah.
are white supremacists and Ku Klux Klan members. I was at a Bible study this morning, and this older gentleman who's been around it, he said, you could have a national Ku Klux Klan convention in a phone booth.
Yeah.
Because there's just yeah. not that many of them.
No.
But again, with the media, and especially the anarchists, they want division. They want anarchy because after you get through that, this is like the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a void of power.
Right.
And now the powerful come in and take over. So anarchy leads to their way of life, which they
right.
want is socialism, really.
Right.
And that's what it leads to. And then where do you draw the line? If it's Confederate heroes that that offends us. Well, why not George Washington? Because he owned slaves.
How about Braxton Bragg?
Yeah,
Fort Bragg is named after
yeah.
him. He was a Confederate.
Got to change that.
Yeah,
and Thomas Jefferson, he owned slaves. So pretty
That's
much
true.
Now we have to nuke Washington D.C. to get rid of all these terrible people, and that's where this goes. It's absolute madness and chaos. Which, of course, who's ultimately behind chaos and madness? That's the devil
that's
himself.
The devil.
I'm here with Bishop Wooden in his office at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action, a special Black and White Day. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, Black and White Day, here from the office of Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. He's the pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ here in Raleigh, North Carolina. My home away from home. It's like my church home away from home.
Yes, sir.
So I have like multiple membership because I've had my church, the Summit Church, J.D.
Yeah.
Greer, phenomenal
yeah.
preacher. But I've been in your church longer than I've been in that church.
That's right. That's right.
Ever since all the way back to 2004.
Yes, sir.
Just an enormous blessing. So not only is Bishop Wooden, speaks the truth and does it with boldness and does it scripturally. He's a great teacher, a great pastor. And what's the Upper Room's website? Is it Upper Room Church of God? Is it just upperroom.com? What is it?
Upperroom.org.
Upperroomgospel.org. So yeah. a fabulous teacher as well, mm-hmm. but even beyond all of that, for me personally, a fabulous friend.
Well, bless you, man.
Somebody that's
yes,
always
sir.
Loved me well and
yes,
cared
sir.
For me
yes,
and
sir.
Served me and has had open arms for me. I always know no matter what happens, I can call you.
That's what I'm talking about.
I just love you and praise you.
And
for
the
that.
Same here.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that. So I want to get to this clip. So this is John MacArthur, a young black gentleman in his church, asked a question. So Howard, we're going to tee this up. Asked a question about, how do we respond biblically and with a gospel bent to the situation, to what we just saw in Charlottesville? Here's what Pastor John MacArthur had to say. Allegedly. Howard, you got it? I'm waiting. I'm waiting for Howard. Okay, so anyway, Howard's going to pull this clip up. I don't know what's going on right now. I know he's out there. So, Howard, if you just get it, just fire it off, and I'll stop talking if you have it queued up. But that's a great question because, I mean, my response, my initial response to Charlottesville and really any other thing like happens, even in Barcelona, Spain, my initial response now is a gospel-centered response seeing human sin and depravity all over the place.
Yes.
My political response is secondary. Do you kind of come at things that way?
You have to, because they're multiple. From a spiritual standpoint, when you read about the last days, you just don't see America in Scripture. And it's sad, but at some point, we're to try to prevent it, but at some point, this country is going to pay for its moving away from the God of the Bible. And also I think about the media manipulation. What happened in Charlottesville was nothing different from what happens in Charlottesville most of the time, mm-hmm. except this time the cameras were there and a group of anarchists were brought in to stop despicable, wicked people
oh, yeah.
who had, though, a permit to march.
And I don't even know, and I am not convinced, that they were there specifically to stop the KKK people. Because the Antifa people are whack jobs, too.
Right.
They're right. despicable people,
right.
too.
Right.
I think they're there to sow discord and chaos
yes.
and fear. That's what I think.
That's their M.O. They could care less about race relations. Their M.O. is to garner attention. But I said to people, the best way to beat a protest is not to show up.
Yeah.
Protests
right.
are designed to gain attention.
That's right. That's right.
And the last time the Klan were in Raleigh, no one showed up, and they got minimal coverage
got
on
nothing.
The news. They protested to fire hydrants, empty empty streets.
Give them nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, give them nothing.
And they go home.
Yep, that's right. We've got that John MacArthur
right.
Spot
all
ready
right,
to go.
Right.
Howard, let's run that.
Is desperately wicked. And the human heart is hostile toward God and self-centered and proud and selfish and angry. What Charlottesville simply demonstrates is that fallen humanity is corrupt. All I see in that is the justification of anger. Look, that's not about slavery. That's not about something that happened 200 years ago. That's an opportunity for angry, hostile, self-willed, selfish people to explode and feel good about it, because they can get away with it when there's enough of them, too many of them to stop.
Now watch this.
Listen. No one tolerates white supremacists. When I was down in Mississippi years ago, I was arrested by those kinds of people for preaching the gospel in black high schools, and I was put in jail, and they took all my money away. I know that. I was with the black leaders in Jackson, Mississippi, and Charles Evers, Medgar Evers' brother. Charles was the first black mayor in the South. Charles, his brother Medgar, was the first martyr of the civil rights movement. He was killed. I was in the room when Martin Luther King was assassinated with those black leaders. And we went to Memphis, and I stood on the blood spots on that motel with those men.
Wow.
I stood in the little bathroom on top of the toilet where James Earl Ray shot him out the window. Those men were my friends. That was my community. I couldn't buy groceries in that town when I got back. In Mendenhall, Mississippi, I couldn't eat in a restaurant. I've seen all that. That's not what's going on there in Charlottesville or any of these other demonstrations. This is the wretched, fallen human heart feeling like it can rise to any level that is not completely controlled. And let me tell you what gets you there. Number one, the human heart is evil. War is in the heart. Men will kill. That's how they function. But God has built three restraints into society.
This is really
restraint
bad.
Number one is in the individual, and it's the conscience. But the conscience reacts to a moral law.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a whole generation of young people that have been taught a twisted, perverted, inverted, upside down, and backwards moral law, then their conscience can't function. The conscience is simply a recognition mechanism that says that's wrong, that's right, that excuses and accuses. But it only can function where there's a sound moral law written in the heart. So you have a whole generation of these people, this generation, who have had a totally perverted sense of what morality is. And the dominant part of this new morality is, I'm the most important person in the world. It's all about me. It's the selfie culture.
Mm-hmm.
So conscience is now crippled. Secondly, God put fathers and mothers in a family to bring a rod to discipline people in order to subdue their evil. If the family is destroyed and the family breaks down, then you have no control over those people. So conscience can't function because the moral law has been literally destroyed. Families don't function, so there's no discipline learned. There's no sense of what is right, what is acceptable behavior.
Man.
And the only That's institution left that God ordained was the police.
Government.
The police were given a sword to subdue those who do evil. When you assault the police long enough, that you diminish their authority and the sense of fear and the sense of reverence that a society has to have for those who police them, then all hell will break loose. Conscience isn't functioning, family's not functioning, and the police have been stripped of their powers in the social consciousness.
Wow.
You literally have unleashed the human heart at its worst level. This is not about race, and this is not about what happened in America in the past. No one can tolerate white supremacists. No one can tolerate the Ku Klux Klan. One of my dear friends, John Perkins, his brother was killed in front of him by the Ku Klux Klan in the street. No one can tolerate that. That is just one manifestation of the evil of the human heart. And we have only begun to see it once it's unleashed, and it's going to start coming in all kinds of forms because of the breakdown of moral law, the breakdown of the conscience, the breakdown of the family, and because of the incessant assaults on governing authorities. So get ready. I don't think it's going to go away.
No, it's basically hell on earth.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I think you hit the nail right on the head. We've watched over the last 8 to 10 years the police, people in positions of authority, people who are put in place to maintain public discord and keep the peace, been constantly maligned.
Yeah.
Put down. Even when you see a commercial and we're going to have a community meeting and we're going to have a meeting with law enforcement, most of the time they want the police to come to hear a diatribe from people telling the police what they should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
They don't speak to the lawbreakers and the lawless people at all. Excuse me, at all. So once you tie the hands of the police,
yeah, they back
they
away.
Can't govern.
Plus, everybody's filming them all the time,
right?
And they're worried about any little thing. I'm going to jail with the people I put in jail.
That's right.
And my life is over.
That's right.
So they self-preservation, that just caring for themselves. They back away.
Of course.
And then the breakdown of the family.
Right.
And then I never really pointedly considered how the conscience of our current younger generation can't even function because
right.
the moral law has been flipped on its head.
Oh, it's been flipped. We made a decision a few years ago to put Dr. Spock's teachings
right.
above the Bible.
Yeah.
And we're paid.
And all of a sudden, women have a right, and we glorify their right to kill their children. We redefine marriage. And now we're so arrogant and so twisted that the fact that you have an Audi doesn't matter. Because if you feel like a woman, you're a woman, except you're not. You're still a man. Talking to Bishop Wood, this is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, here on a special Friday edition of Black and White Day with my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr.
Slightly.
We're going to emphasize slightly. Upper Room Church of God in Christ, which is where I'm at right now here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Just a great, powerful institution that God has used in a mighty way on a number of levels, not just you preaching boldly in the way that you do. But dealing with the life issue, not only are people coming here to get ultrasounds and stuff like that, as you've partnered with some crisis pregnancy centers here in the area, but feeding the poor and helping those folks.
Good people.
There's a
good
lot
people.
Going on here at the Upper Room.
Right.
Which is a huge blessing.
I thank the Lord for.
Amen. And one of the most gracious, loving churches I've ever been in. And I told people, I was met with my board just the other day. We were talking about Call to Worship coming up here on Friday, October 27th. And the only reason you would miss it is if you can't get here physically or you're a fool. those are your only two options that you want to miss.
You better come.
Call to Worship, because it's going to be.
Better come, Facebook.
This is going to be totally off the hook. But people are like, well, what do you need about ushers? And I said, I've used students from my classes before for ushers. I said, I've never met ushers at a church more gracious and loving and welcoming than at the Upper Room.
Thank you.
So I absolutely want Upper Room ushers here to help us along, which will be
sir.
A huge blessing to everybody
yes,
that comes. We're going to talk about black-on-black crime. We're going to talk about who kills more people, the Ku Klux Klan or somebody else. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I do want to remind everybody about our good friends at MediShare. This is a Christian ministry. It's been around since 1993. Over $1 billion, that's with a B, over $1 billion of healthcare expenses shared by now close to 300,000 Christians around the country. So instead of going to Obamacare or the insurance world, we pay for each other's major expenses. So we pay for our own well care and regular doctor visits. Mm-hmm. But if you have a major medical expense, all of those things since 1993 covered by fellow Christians all over the country. That's wow. MediShare. 855-BIBLE-11 is their phone number. 855-BIBLE-11, also now available in Montana. Give them a call like the Noble family did 5 years ago. 855-BIBLE-11. It's MediShare. It is a Christian ministry. So speaking about medical issues, you talked about this a little bit on your Facebook Live video yesterday, Bishop, and you talked about it earlier today, and we've shared both of those on our Facebook pages. But who kills more black people? Is it black-on-black crime? Is it whites? Is it the Ku Klux Klan? Who's wiping out your people in America?
Planned Parenthood. The Planned Parenthood organization kills more blacks every 2 weeks than the Klan has in its entire history.
So the liberal left.
The liberal left.
And much of the black church.
Much of the black church.
Sorry to say.
Yes.
Go ballistic about the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
But really prop
all, up. All 4,000 of them.
But really prop up and support the number one murderer of your own people. So what's up with that?
Something's wrong because I heard a black female activists call abortion reproductive justice.
What?
Now, yes, reproductive justice.
God
and this is
her.
What I'm doing. I'm sounding the alarm because we're being willing participants in our own demise. I was listening the other day on ESPN and Stephen A. Smith intimated that we would have been better off if Hillary would have become president.
Jeez.
And someone was telling me the other day, you know, at least Hillary can talk better than Trump. I said, yes, she would have been silkier and smoother. She would have conjugated all of her sentences.
Right.
She never would have split a verb. She would have spoken with predicates and everything. But what she would have been speaking and promoting would have been flat out, straight up evil.
Yeah.
Because this is a lady who is the recipient of the Margaret Sanger Award.
Jeez.
And she said that we can learn a lot from Margaret.
Well, she said Margaret Sanger, who wanted to eliminate the black race,
right.
Was one of her heroes.
One of her heroes.
And our former president, who happened to be an African-American,
yes.
and I've said this before and I'll say it again, an actual African-American because his dad was African and his mom was American. All right, so I know I just crossed a total line there, but you know who told me that first? The
yep.
black guy across
yep.
the desk from
yep.
me. So you get there, and Barack Obama said, God bless Planned
God
Parenthood.
Bless. He said, God bless you. And Hillary said to Planned Parenthood, thank you. Now,
man.
To me, that would have said to every black person, if they are aware of the effect that Planned Parenthood is having on our community, that would have said, run from them.
Yeah.
Approximately 1,876 black babies alone aborted per day in this country at Planned Parenthood. Approximately 3,000 to 4,000 babies in total per day. This organization is the greatest killing machine that the world has ever known.
Yeah.
And it is decimating the black community. We are killing our future. When you destroy your seed, you destroy your future. And when you don't understand the importance of multiplication, look at what has happened with the Hispanics. And God bless them. But they have surpassed us big time in
yeah.
numbers because they give birth. Now, their abortion rates are rising, but they have surpassed us.
Yeah. Listen, there might be about 15 million illegal immigrants in the country.
Right.
And at least 15 million black babies have been murdered.
Yes, yes.
Mostly by white men, by the
way. White abortionists. Since Roe v. Wade, it is estimated that the population of the state of North Carolina, that's how many black people are missing since then.
Man.
So everywhere you go in the state where you see people, that many blacks have been exterminated since Roe v. Wade and Margaret Sanger. The Democrat Party has in its platform,
yeah,
in its platform, a full-throated support, have full-throated support for abortion, and yet we vote 90%+.
So is your average African American and a very high percentages self-professed Christians and I'm not saying necessarily that they aren't, but are they actually ignorant and they just don't know, or are they willfully ignorant and they don't want to know?
I hate to say this. I hate to say this, but I'm running more into willful ignorance than actual, because in many cases, not all, when they're enlightened, when we are enlightening people, they change their positions. But in many cases, they'll come back with, well, that's not the only issue, or, you know, we're gonna separate our politics from our religion,
man.
which is amazing to me, because Steve, again, I've said on your show, I didn't think that I was supposed to separate anything from my religion.
Yeah, no.
I think that
your
my religion,
Christianity is not an aspect of your life.
That's right.
It is your life.
It is our life. And everything is weighed based on how it measures up to the Christian doctrine. So I think that the media and others have done a great job selling this thing, and now we're talking about reproductive justice. But I'm saying to the blacks out there, when people hear this, to my people, we have a right to live. We have a right to be born. And the greatest white supremacists in the world are anyone, in my opinion, anyone who supports Planned Parenthood. And so that means many white supremacists aren't white.
Yeah, how about that?
Barack Obama was not white.
Wow.
There are many white supremacists who is practicing white supremacy, because the height of white supremacy is death.
I mean,
to eliminate
your
competition. That's
exactly right. You look at the twisted evilness that exists in Barack Obama, who is a champion for Planned Parenthood.
Loves him.
And silent on Chicago black-on-black crime.
Yes.
Silent.
Yes. And what happens is, to defend that, people say, well, they're separate issues. But they're not separate issues. We're being destroyed. We're being eliminated. And Steve, you know this, because we've talked to many politicians and we're somewhat on the inside. Most politicians, whether you talk about Democrat or Republican, neither are counting on the black community to be around in large enough numbers in the future to make a difference one way or the other.
Yeah.
So we got to sound the alarm just so that we can survive.
Well, I like the idea you had a couple years ago that every African-American of voting age in America should re-register as independent.
Right.
And say, if you want our vote, come talk to us.
Earn it.
Because at least, now listen, I'm not a huge Donald Trump fan. And he's got to be the most inarticulate billionaire in the history of the world.
In the history.
But he did come to the black church.
Yeah, he did.
And said, hey, by the way, what's the Democrat Party done for you in the last 20 years?
Right.
Come to me.
Give
and
me a
I'll
chance.
Actually do something.
Yeah.
Give me a chance. Because these people have done nothing except kill your babies and enslave your poor into the government welfare system.
Exactly. And when he went to the community and asked for the vote, he actually robbed a many of their argument. Hey, you know, we would vote Republican, but they don't even try to. They don't even ask for our vote. Well, Donald Trump asks for
the vote. He asked for the vote.
He really did.
Yeah, man, just
I'm
amazing.
I'm with you. I don't agree with everything that he does and says, and he is the most inarticulate politician. But I will say this: I believe that the Trump phenomenon is that Trump is not one of them. Trump's not a Democrat, and Trump's not a Republican.
Right, that's right.
As a matter of fact, Trump surprised everybody. He's the quintessential dark horse. Nobody saw him coming. Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is doing exactly what it was designed to do.
Fail.
It was supposed to fail, supposed to implode.
That's right.
Hillary was supposed to be the president, and they moved to a single-payer system.
Oh, man.
That was by design.
Foiled. The plan was allegedly foiled.
Yes.
But Congress doesn't agree with that.
Congress doesn't. But here comes Donald Trump. The plus side is he has his own money, and so that's why he's so uncontrollable.
Yeah.
He doesn't owe anybody. So I'm praying for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm praying for him.
We must pray for him.
Yeah.
And as much as it pains me, I pray for all of our leaders, whether I agree with them or not.
Oh, yeah.
Because God didn't say, hey, only pray for the people you agree with.
That's right.
He said pray for all in authority.
That's right.
And we definitely need to do that. And that freedom that he has to be bold and stuff, I get that, because you and I have that freedom. Probably from a different source.
That's right. From a different source.
Because in Jesus Christ, I fear no man.
No man.
You're a big bad dude, but I don't fear you.
That's right.
But I fear your God.
I fear my God.
But I love you.
And I love you. But the God of the Bible is going to take care of
Amen.
Us. We're going to work while it is day.
Amen.
That's night coming.
Night's coming.
No man can work.
That's right. God bless you. I love you, Pastor.
Thank
Wood.
You. Thanks for having me on.
You're
love
welcome.
You, friend.
Okay, friends, have a great week and another great day here on Call to Action Radio with our good friend, the Bishop, my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden. Have a great weekend, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.